Okay, so I just want to just pick up from the passage, but before I do that, I just want to talk about like the story so far. So we have a group of disciples that have been with Jesus, that have been learning about Jesus. They've been learning about what it means to operate in the miraculous, but also how to bring compassion and love to the broken, that Jesus modeled all these behaviors to them. And they just spent this intense time of learning from him. 3 years of just learning to be like Jesus and to do what Jesus did. Then Jesus goes and hangs on a cross. He dies. He rises again. And then he ascends. And that's where we get to today. He ascends. But what's interesting is when he rises again, he spends 40 days with the disciples and teaches them many more things. And we don't have a record of a lot of that material. I'd be really intrigued, wouldn't you, to know what was said during that time, what Jesus shared with them and he said. But we know that this was a time that they learned about what was to come and their role in that. So, when Jesus came back and spent that time with them, he would have taught them, he would have instructed them, taught them about the kingdom of God and what that looked like, but also talked about the mission that they were going to fulfill here on the earth when he was going to go back to be with the Father. He commissions the disciples, which we're going to look at a little bit later, to send them out to do his works. But also he prepares them for him leaving. You know, this was a big moment. I mean, can you imagine just spending 3 years with Jesus and then him going, "That's it, folks, I'm off." You know, that's a significant moment for the disciples, isn't it? You know, Jesus didn't just come to the earth to show us how to be good. They did learn that. They learned what it meant to be righteous, what it meant to be like Jesus. He didn't just come for that. He didn't just come to show us that he's powerful, but yet he did. He came to give us a mission. He came to show us that God is a missional God, that he's moving throughout the earth, changing people's lives and bringing people to him. And so that's what we're going to look at today, is just the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because Jesus talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to think about, what does that mean to us today? You sat here, whether you know Jesus or not today, the work of the Holy Spirit is vital. Then on the just the next slide, we see this passage at the end of this Acts passage. And it says, "They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" We know and we trust and we hope in the fact that God is coming back, that Jesus is coming back one day to wrap this whole thing up. But for now, we are here on the earth. It's interesting that, can you imagine what the thoughts might have been of the disciples as they're seeing Jesus like just go and leave them? They probably had lots of stuff racing through their minds, didn't they? Maybe some doubts, maybe some fears, maybe some hopes, maybe some questions around, are they going to be good enough to continue doing this thing that Jesus wanted them to do? Maybe they were just really conscious of their own frailty. We all have our stuff, don't we, that we wrestle with in faith. We have the things that we might think about God and we wrestle with, but also what we might wrestle about ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we see the church. So all these things probably were going through their minds, and that's okay, God can handle our questions. But what's interesting is these angels, as they probably were, say to the disciples, "Why are you looking up? Because he's going to come back." And effectively, he's saying, "You've got a job to do. This is the start of something new for you." So what's in your head today? You know, where does your mind go? You know, it's good that we have questions. But God today wants you to focus on the here and now. You have to think about, what is God doing in your life, and also what does God want to do with your life? This is a big question for us today. At the beginning of the text, in Acts 1. Sonia, if you flip over. Great, thank you. On one occasion, it says, on one occasion, whilst he was eating with them, the disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, they were familiar with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus taught them about the Holy Spirit. He equipped them to understand what the work of the Holy Spirit and what he was going to do with them. But yet this was new for the church. This was new for the church. Not that the Holy Spirit was new. The Holy Spirit has been around forever, which we're going to look at in a minute. But the way that this was being talked about with the Holy Spirit and just empowering them to fulfill this mission, Jesus had to equip them to understand. Yeah, Rob spoke to us last week, didn't he, about the things that the church has done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing things. We've seen people get healed. We've seen people's lives get transformed. Words and knowledges. Lots of different things that Rob talked about last week, which was really encouraging. And as we go through this next week, we're leading to a Sunday where we remember a particular event. Does anybody know what that event is? Pentecost. So 50 days after Jesus rises from the dead, the church encountered this massive, powerful impact of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church to empower them to fulfill this mission. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. We're going to think about the Holy Spirit, who he is, and to think about what impact the Holy Spirit has on our lives here today. Jesus talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, and he said that he wouldn't just leave them when he leaves, but he would send another counselor, it says, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He says that it's good for them that Jesus goes and leaves them, because it's in leaving them that he will then send them the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would bring glory to Jesus in the work that he would do. So Jesus makes a big deal of the Holy Spirit. The early church fathers wrote a lot about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. And so if Jesus made a big deal of it, we really should do too. We should be thinking about this and thinking about the meaning of that for us as a church, but also as individuals. You know, at best, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead. That this relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, as we call it. And so that's the best, you know, that we can really understand of God and who the Holy Spirit is. But sometimes you hear in the church people referring to the Holy Spirit as an it. Or a power, just a power. Like electricity, just a force. But that's not what Scripture says. The Scripture has so much more to say about who the Holy Spirit is. So although we don't have time today to do a full study of the Holy Spirit, there is lots of material out there for you to do that. I want to just look at that because as the Protestant church here, we believe in the centrality of the work of the Holy Spirit and who he is, that he is part of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity. This is a way of illustrating who the Holy Spirit is in relation to the Father and the Son. I'm hoping you might find this helpful. So this says that the Son glorifies the Father glorifies the Son, the Father glorifies the Holy Spirit glorifies the Father, and there's this relationship between the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus that we call the Trinity. But the Son isn't the Father, and the Father isn't the Son. And that Jesus isn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't Jesus. These are three persons in one. The mystery of the Holy Trinity. But I'm hoping you just find this helpful just to see how that works. It's a relational God that we have. Three persons in one. So what I want to do, if it's okay, I want to just run through a few verses in the New Testament that highlight that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's a person. And he has personal attributes. So let's just run through these. John 15 says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. So what does this say? Yeah, this says that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a personal pronoun. He's not just force. He's not just power. This Holy Spirit is a he. He testifies. This says the Holy Spirit testifies. Electricity does not testify. That type of power does not testify. The Holy Spirit does. He's a person. Next verse in Acts. Whilst they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So in this verse, what we see is the Holy Spirit is speaking and he gives instructions. Next verse, 1 Corinthians. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." No one knows the thoughts of God but the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows things. He has a mind. Ephesians says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Can you grieve electricity? Can you grieve that type of power? No, you grieve a person. And so this says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He has emotions. 1 Corinthians says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." So the Holy Spirit has a will. And it's really interesting this, because I am no Greek scholar, but I'll pronounce this and it'll probably be wrong. But the word in the Greek for the word will is boulomai. Let's go with that. Boulomai. Say boulomai. Greek scholars. So it says that the Holy Spirit has a boulomai, a will. But we see in Matthew that it says that Jesus has a boulomai, a will. And in Hebrews, it says that the Father has a boulomai, a will. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have a will about how God works in his church. There are many verses in the Holy Spirit that have the attributes of the Holy Spirit being God. But this one in Acts is really clear. What's been written about here is Ananias has held some money back from the church, from some land that he sold, and so that's what's being addressed. So it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." And so it's saying here that Ananias was lying to the Holy Spirit, who is God. So that's just a general surface level understanding of what some of the verses in the New Testament say about God and the Holy Spirit. And there's lots more you can study around who the Holy Spirit is. But I want to just relate who the Holy Spirit is to the here and now. Sonia, thank you. Just look to the person to your left or to your right. We're a good bunch, aren't we? The Holy Spirit today is in this room, and he is working in the lives of those around you. But not just in the lives around you, but in you. He is working in your life. Even if you don't know Jesus yet, you wouldn't count yourself as a Christian or as a follower of Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life today. The reason you're here is because you have been drawn here by the Holy Spirit. He is working in you. He's helping you see that there is a God in heaven that loves you and wants to draw you into relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working in us today. He's moving in our midst. God's original design for your life has always been purpose. Like, you sat here today have a purpose. Right from the beginning of time, where Jesus, where God created the world and created mankind, he created them with purpose. And those purposes are to know him, to love him, and to fulfill his purposes here on the earth. And so you're sat here today with purpose. And I don't just want you to own that for a minute, that Jesus left, sent the Holy Spirit for you to have purpose here on the earth, which we're going to look at a little bit more in a minute. Next slide. God is unfolding this amazing grand narrative, a story in creation, a salvation story. So God creates, and then we see the fall, don't we, where mankind turns away from God and sins, and we see sin enter the world. And then we see this period of time where God is working in his people, and then Jesus comes to redeem God's people, to offer a way back to the Father, to be reunited and reconnected with God. And we know one day there will be a time when Jesus wraps this whole thing up, and that will be the restoration. And you are part of this story. And so I'd say to you, where are you today in this story? You're there. You're there. You, sat here today, are in this story of God's plan over creation. And so you're not sat here by accident. God is working something in your life today and wanting to work something in your life today. And here, at this moment on the earth, God has a purpose for you. And how do we accomplish that? Through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just three areas. I mean, the Holy Spirit is doing a lot of things on the earth at the moment, but there's three things that I just want to highlight that God is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, he's establishing his church. The church is this beautiful thing that God has given us for God to reveal his goodness, to bring us together to be people who love God, who know God, and who make God known in our midst with each other, and then out through the church to those outside the church, to draw people into this story that we know, the salvation story, that through Christ we can have eternal life, that we can know the love of the Father, that we can be set free from sin and given a new hope. And so God is wanting to build this church that where we know him and make him known. Secondly, the thing that he's doing is he's making his kingdom known here on earth as it is in heaven. We say that in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Your will be done, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And so some of the things that Rob said last week, that of testimonies that he's known of, stories that he's told about what God has done, that is God revealing his ways here on earth as they are in heaven. But loving people, being kind to people, serving the poor, healing the sick, all these things are part of God's plan of establishing his kingdom here on earth. And the third thing is we have a great commission. So let me just read this to you. Matthew 28, Jesus dies on the cross, is raised again, and he comes to the disciples and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Great Commission, who is it for? You, yeah, us. It's for all of us. Making disciples is calling somebody to follow Christ. But for you to call somebody else to follow Christ, what do you need to do? Follow Christ. Yeah? We give our lives to the pursuit of Jesus, becoming like him and knowing his power within us, to transform us, the things in us, our hearts, our minds, our souls, everything that is in us, to conform to his pattern and likeness. That he is working his goodness in us and revealing his love to us. So that is what it means to be a disciple, is to give your life to Christ and to follow him with everything that you are. And then what we do, it says, we make disciples. We go out and draw people into that same process and teach them the ways of Jesus like we have learnt. And so this is the Holy Spirit working in us, revealing Jesus. Jesus says he will reveal truth to you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the truths of Jesus. And then we may make those truths known through the power of the Spirit. So how does this happen? Who is good enough to receive the Holy Spirit? Rob is, that's good. We've got one person in the room. Thankfully, we've got one. We all are. We all are. You know, in John, it talks about those who love God. Love God. You know, give their lives to just obeying his commandments, just loving God. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is not dependent on your goodness. It's not dependent on your goodness. It's dependent on his. His faithfulness, his love, his commitment was to belong to him, to know him, and to make him known. And so that's really important for each one of you in the room, including myself, to remember. Because sometimes we can slip into that moment, can't we, of I'm just not good enough for God to use me. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says complete opposite, which we're going to look at in a second. What's really interesting is that even though Jesus has left at this point in the story, in Mark 16:20, it says, the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them. So Jesus worked through them, confirming what they said by many miracles, miraculous signs. So Jesus remained with them by the Holy Spirit. So I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit. I need him in my life. I need him to convict me of sin. I need him to fill me with the love of the Father. All those things. I need his presence in my life. But I also need him to empower me to live this life with others. And so, let me just show you how we receive the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to talk today about that the moment of conversion, because the Bible's really clear that when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and makes his home in you and dwells in you. Scripture's really clear on that. And we do talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost. But we talk about the ongoing infilling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God as we ask for that. And so today I don't want to look too much at that, but I want to show you that God really wants you to ask for the Holy Spirit. So let me read this to you. In John 14, it says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I take a lot of comfort from this verse, because who is he talking about? Those who are evil. Well, I take comfort from that. You know, I don't feel I'm evil, but I'm definitely far away from who I could be. And so I take comfort from that, that this verse clearly states, doesn't it, that this isn't, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who are good, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Those who come to him in humility and submission and say, Father, let me receive the Holy Spirit. This is about who he is and his goodness towards his church. So let's ask. We're going to take some time now just to ask. Some of you may be a new Christian, and so this might be relatively new to you, learning about the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have walked with Jesus for a number of years, but again, this might be new, that thought of being able to ask for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. So the Holy Spirit lives in you because you're saved. You have been changed by the Holy Spirit because he lives in you. But this is an ongoing relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, where we say, Father, fill me more with the Holy Spirit, a presence, an awareness of his presence, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to take a moment to ask for that. And then we're going to go back into a time of worship, and we'll have some people over there to pray with those who would like us to pray this over you, to pray that the Holy Spirit would empower you and fill you with his presence. But also, like Ben said today, there may be some of you who are just feeling the weight of things in your life, and you need the Holy Spirit to come and move in you to set you free, to bring freedom in areas of your life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does too. And so we can pray with you over there as well for that. So let's just take a moment. Let's pray. Let's just close our eyes.